it is right at 5:30, and that means once a month we do it. We have Supervisor Tim Humphrey from the Gila County Board of Supervisors for the monthly meeting. And how are you doing, Tim?
I'm well, Riley. How are you this evening?
Can't complain. Good. Well, actually, no, there's been an election. I could complain for the next 100 hours, but what good would it do? So
well, I guess none. All we can do is wait and see what happens.
Well, and I understand you had a Roosevelt meeting today. 50 people showed up, and we can't even get one of them to call 888-876-5593.
I agree. Yeah, it was a great meeting. Like I said, there was about 50 people there. They all come up, and like I said, today we had the sheriff's office there. We had Anthony Prescarrett from Animal Control, and he's also going to call in, be on the air with us here in a little bit. Jeremy Plain from the Forest Service. We had Brent Klein from the Road Department. George Glocko from the State Department. So, you know, we had a lot of things going on and a lot of information that was shared in both directions. And so, yeah, it was a good meeting. And so I look forward to my meetings on the outskirts, because it seems like those are more net community, I guess, and they're more interested in their community and show up to let me know what I need to know about their area that either needs to be fixed or things of that nature.
It's interesting because people are certainly willing to complain here. People are absolutely involved from the standpoint of when it affects them. But here these meetings are every month and no one responds.
I don't know, Raleigh. And, you know, I used to have my meetings at the fire station.
Yeah.
And, you know, two or three people would show up maybe if they had an issue.
Right.
And then once the issue was solved, I never saw them again.
Ever again.
No, never, ever again. Where it's like Roosevelt, they continually come. And the good thing about that is then the sheriff's office and the Forest Service, they use that as their public outreach as well. So the people get a lot of information on what's going on with those different departments in that particular area. You know, which roads are going to be worked on, and the Forest Service would show up and let us know what's going on with the ramps, the lights at the ramps, you know, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the people in our local area, well, of course, Globe and Miami have their mayors and council, so they're pretty much under that. And the people that aren't within the city jurisdiction, I guess they just call the people they know whom work for the county and try to get things solved that way rather than speak with a supervisor, I guess.
I guess, but we're going to speak with Anthony Pescaric, and he's joining us now. So, Anthony, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Good evening, Anthony. How are you today? You're good. I heard that. We're interested in hearing from you and all the good things going on at the new animal shelter and those kind of things. And so, take it away.
All right. So, past 6 months, our officers, from May to current, our officers have ran over 500 calls of service. This is for all of Gila County. For the past year, we have brought in a total of 237 dogs, 20 cats, and a lot of these dogs are being either sent back to their owners, they're being reclaimed by their owners, or they're being sent off to rescues. Our live release rate is right around 80%, which is really, really good. Back in the day, we were, you know, I want to say right around the 20s or 30s. We're trying to change the whole perspective of the whole animal control world and euthanize way less than what we used to. And now that we have this nice, beautiful new shelter, we have the space to be able to keep the animals. We have the time to be able to work with them. We work closely with the Arizona State Prison. We have prisoners that come in and clean the kennels every day, which frees up our kennel tech to be able to go through and work with animals every day. The prisoners are able to walk with the dogs, work with the dogs. It's just it's an awesome, amazing opportunity to be able to have this place out here and to be able to do what we're doing in the animal control world.
Yeah, that's great about the prisoners, because it benefits the dogs and it benefits the prisoners.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, when we were looking for a site to build that new one, that was a big push for me to have it out there so that we could do an intergovernment agreement with the Department of Corrections for the DOCs to be able to work with us on a deal like we're doing. You know, it was thought out beforehand and it's working, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You got any spay and neuter clinics or anything coming up, Anthony?
We don't have any spay and neuters right now. We did get our spay and neuter grant for the pet plate grant. The more people that get the pet plates through the DMV, the more money there is in the pot for them to distribute through shelters throughout Arizona every year. So if you want to help support animal shelters, you get the pet plate next time you register your vehicle. We do take applications to get spay and neuters done, and we'll help you out as much as we can. And just all you got to do is give us a phone call. We had our first rabies clinic here last month. We did right around 80 shots, rabies shots. Dr. Eubanks, real local Samaritan vet, came in and did our rabies shots. We used to work with him a lot. This is the first one we did in our new shelter, and it worked out very well. And we look forward to doing more and providing that service to the public of Gila County.
Oh, good. And Anthony, you might let people know how they can come and see that new beautiful shelter that you're bragging about.
We are at 591 East Fairgrounds Road. Everybody in Global Miami area usually knows where the fairgrounds are, the go-kart track. We are right across the street from the go-kart track. Just look for the big green roof and just follow it, and you'll see our nice brand new shelter. Anybody who comes out here, we'd be more than happy to give a tour to and answer all your questions you have for us.
What are the hours?
We're open Monday through Friday from 8 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock at night. We do have people here a little bit earlier. Tina, our kennel tech, is a very valuable person we have because she's the one that gets up early in the morning and goes against the prisoners and makes sure everything's spick and span in the morning before anybody gets here.
And you have facility there where if someone wants to spend some time with an animal, cat or dog, that they'll be able to spend that time with an animal. And whether you want to adopt or not, you can go sit and pet a cat if you want to.
Oh, most definitely. We have the catio where you can go in there and sit with our resident cat, Kiki. She's been with us for, I want to say, going on 6 or 7 years now. You can't miss her. She won't let you miss her. She's in there. We don't have a lot of cats in the shelter at this point. We do have dogs. We love people coming up and spending time with dogs, taking them for walks. We have a nice outside backyard is fenced off, or you can leash them up and take them for a walk down the road. We are, I want to say, right around the first of the year, we should have our volunteer program up and going. It is something that Supervisor Castaneda and myself and his upper management have been working on to work out the kinks to get the ball rolling on that. So we're excited to get that going too, because that'll also help us be able to move more animals out of here, because we'll be able to find more resources and people working with animals also.
Oh, that's great. And so, yeah, that's important for people, because if they happen to be in an area where they can't have a cat or a dog right now, but they would like to spend time with one, that's nice to know that they can go, you know, like I say, pet a cat or take a dog for a walk if they want to. Go make a friend just because you like animals.
Absolutely.
Most definitely.
Tell me about the biggest dog you have currently.
Biggest dog we have currently is actually a wolf hybrid.
Ooh.
The wolf hybrids are very big dogs. This is actually a confiscate we have on a current case that I'm working out of the Globe area. These dogs are big. But most of the time they're very, very friendly dogs. This is on a neglect case.
Oh.
But that's the biggest dog. We just had one go out, I want to say last week, it was right around 115 pounds. That was another big dog.
Yeah. I love the big
dogs. So we're
Yeah, we're currently, we got four dogs that came in today. They're part of the, from the fire at the Economy Inn that we're holding for the, for the people until they are able to find a new place to go. So we're taking care of their animals for them, which is also something that we do for a lot of people. If they're displaced in a fire or a flood, you know, we'll bring their animals in, we'll take care of them. We had a lot of those animals in from the fires a couple years ago. We'll set up tents, we'll evacuate animals and stuff like that.
And the volunteer program that you're working on, Anthony, that is for public to be able to come and volunteer as you need them to walk animals and things of that nature. Is that the volunteer program that you were speaking of?
Yes, sir. So right now we're, it's going to be 18 or above, unless there's a parent supervision here, then we can have the younger ones come in and, they'll be able to come in. Well, hopefully we have enough turnout of volunteers that, that want to volunteer. We'll be able to schedule volunteers on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, and maybe even some on the weekends that want to come in and volunteer their time on the weekends to work with the dogs when we have our staff here cleaning kennels on the weekends, because we clean kennels on the weekends and feed and water the dogs as needed. So that is, we can't wait for that to get up and going.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, do you have anything else you'd like to share with us this evening? A phone number. Is there a phone number where they can call out there and see what's going on?
928-402-8875 or 928-402-8874. We're staffed here from usually 5:30 in the morning to 5 o'clock at night. We usually don't, we answer the phones usually 8 to 5, but we do have staff here at 5:30 in the morning.
Great.
Another question. Do you have a Facebook or something to where people, if they might be wanting to shop without going out, can they look at the animals that you have up for adoption?
So, yes, we do have Facebook, Healy County Animal Care and Control at Facebook. And you're able to go in on all of our adoptable kennels. We have cameras that are live streamed. You're able to see the dogs right offline.
And see their behavior as well.
Interact with them, but you can sit there and look at them and pick them out as you go. And then if you go to petharbor.com, too, all of our animals that we have in the shelter that are here are up linked to petharbor.com.
Yeah, that's the mother load for seeing all of them. In terms
for
of
all state. Of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, yeah.
Yeah, petharbor.com. And so, actually, did you know this? It just changed names. It says Pet Harbor
has been, really?
Yeah, Pet Harbor has been adopted in our new facility, 24petconnect.com, you'll find. So it's now 24, the numbers 2 and 4, petconnect.com. How about that?
Perfect.
Yeah, okay. So now we're going to search by zip code. I'm doing this right now to make sure we've come up with everything we want. So 85501 says location was not found. I must have typed it in wrong. All right, we'll try it again. Let's see. Here we are. All right. And so I'm looking right now at a female dog, who has been found, a beagle. And there's not that many. There's 8 animals reported here.
Yeah, right now we're not that full, which is a good thing. We don't like having a bunch of animals.
Yeah, and
Gives us more time to be able to work with the animals that we do have to make them a little bit more adoptable, make them a little bit more friendly.
Yeah. All right. So I'm looking at a female here, a German Shepherd female, and a lot of mixed breeds, but, you know, that makes them healthier, actually. Got a coon hound and a largely Labrador Retriever. So that's great.
Well, good, yes, Anthony. Sir. I appreciate you taking the time to be on this radio with us this evening to reach out and let people know, you know, what you're doing. The calls were great. Everybody, you know, 500 calls in Healy County, that's a lot. That's this month, correct?
That's no, sir. That's in 6 months.
In six
that's
months
from May to now.
So about 100, roughly 100 calls a month.
Right around there. Yeah, give or take some. Usually we see a big call base in the winter, or not the winter time, the summertime, due to a lot of welfare checks for, you know, it's the hot season, dogs being outside with no food, no shelter, well, no water, stuff like that.
Yeah, heartbreaking, just heartbreaking. I'd like to chain up the owners.
It is.
Well, again, I appreciate you taking time to come on the radio with us and share the information with the people. And if they have any questions, I appreciate the phone number and also where they can go look and see what you have available. Anthony, I thank you very much and have a good evening.
Thank you. You guys too.
Okay, bye.
You bet.
All right. So that's right. That's neat.
It's good. And if they hadn't seen the facility, it's worth going to. They got place for surgeries and everything else there.
Oh, yeah.
It's a full deal.
That's wonderful.
And it's been needed for many, 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 many,
yes,
many, many years.
Absolutely.
So now it's up. But anyway, moving on. My recent activities is I've attended 4 agenda meetings and 1 work session on Board of Supervisors. I held a Gaisela community meeting, held a Tonneau Basin community meeting, and a Roosevelt community meeting this morning with 50 people.
Mm-hmm. 888-876-5593, or as close as your phone, 8888-ROLLYE.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be good news. If you got an issue that we need to know about, let us know, because I can't help if I don't know you have a problem.
Yeah.
Extended a stagecoach, a road improvement project out at Roosevelt, and then met with Tri-City county manager in Homero Villa to discuss utility easements needed, because there's some private property and some different things going on about easements that they're working on obtaining. It was a very good meeting, a lot of progress in moving forward with that. Our fairgrounds, now that we have the other arena, you know, it allows us to have more ropings and perhaps some high school finals and things of that nature.
Right.
That we have the double arenas, and here recently the board approved the project for a permanent restroom, so that we don't have to go with porta-johns and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has been put out for bid, and we accepted the bid, and the county will be responsible for providing utilities within 6 feet of the site so that the vendor can hook up. And it's American Rescue Plan Act, is ARPA funds will be used to complete the project. So it's not, you know, actually out of tax dollars. It is from American Rescue Plan Act that we have the funds to do that.
Great.
And also, too, there's a Arizona State Land Department. We got to looking up. I talked with the county manager, and there's about 280 acres that connect with our local fairgrounds.
Mm.
And so I'm interested in looking into that for growth, for different things at the fairgrounds, to create more recreational value. And the fairgrounds now, you know, where you park and where events and things are and where there's room to park and there's events, you know, some of that can be difficulty. And as if we grow and get more going on out there, concerts, motocross, car races, anything of that nature, you know, it's just hard to put all in what we have. So we're looking into that. And the board approved for, we have to do a study on that, and that was awarded to Kimley Horn to contract to conduct a required environmental studies for the county to be in a position to acquire the additional land from the state of Arizona Land Department. And so that's something that I'm looking into, perhaps maybe not for the near future, but in the long future, it would be awfully nice to have two, and if not all of it, more acreage to create recreational events and things of that nature, or even infrastructure projects, perhaps. So if it's just sitting there growing bushes and rattlesnakes now, It would be nice to have it for infrastructure. Work with the City of Globe on maybe bringing sewer out there. You know, whether as a contractor, I'm always thinking of future projects and what can be better down the road. And you know, here we're a county living on 3% of our tax base because all these beautiful views are BLM, Forest Service, mine property, or Indian reservations as to where we don't get any tax dollars. So I'm constantly looking for ways for infrastructure and recreation because that is our future unless we go to the taxpayers and try to raise their taxes.
Which at this point in time for many people is just not
doable. No. we always, you know, say, well, you don't raise taxes, but our taxes went up and the actual county tax has not gone up, but things like your fire stations and your schools, college, and things like that, they can raise their taxes per capita. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them do pretty much every year. But Gila County does not raise the base tax, and we haven't. And I don't see us doing it. That's why we're always looking for different ways to create an income source so we don't have to go to the property owners.
Absolutely. Now, these 288 acres, who owns it now?
It's in a state land deal.
So it is a state land.
So it is state land,
and
yes.
So theoretically, an agreement could be made for Gila County to get it?
It could, and like I say, but they won't, like, put it up for auction.
No.
It's just sitting there. So in order to get that, that's why we went with Kimley Horn to do the environmental studies, because mm-hmm. you never know environmentally what might be there.
Yeah.
And so once the environmental study's done and there's nothing there that would prevent them from putting them up for an auction or up for sale, and then the county would bid on them and somebody else could bid on them too. Mm. But either way, whether an investor was to get that or the county was to get that, it would still create some future growth. Hopefully for recreation or living areas for our local area.
You know, it's interesting. The state, in some ways, this comes up so often, and it's their own bureaucracy, I suppose, that is real a hindrance to Gila County. For instance, all the blighted properties that can't be torn down, which is just crazy time.
Right. Yeah, because it belongs to the state.
And they just leave it there because obviously they don't live here. They don't see it.
Well, and a lot of it is, you know, some of those properties that, you know, that's, again, you know, the Tri-City project that I've been supporting, is if someone can't use their facility, why pay taxes on a property that you can't live in, you can't use a facility, so more or less you walk away from it, and then all of a sudden it's up for a tax sale, and who's going to buy a property that you can't live in or use the facility, and all of a sudden you're become liable for the blight that it is.
Right.
So it's like, no, it's easier walk away from it. We have a lot of those properties.
We do, and it would seem to me that there should be something, and I realize it takes money to tear down a structure, but regardless, that if the state takes over an abandoned structure like that, they should have to level it and turn it into just ground, because you drive down these streets and some of them are, you know, one depressing situation after another, not to mention crime potential. Right. And it seems like the state doesn't seem interested in this at all.
Well, that's something I've tried to work with our state legislature a little bit on, because also, too, there has been people that have passed on.
Yes.
And they didn't will or leave their property to anyone, but someone's paying taxes on the property to prevent it from going into a tax lien sale. And so, but that, they're paying them cash or check or whatever, but that doesn't make them liable for the property because the registered owner has deceased.
Yes.
So I've been trying to work with state to get it before our legislature to, if you're paying the taxes on a property, you're responsible for it. Whether you're a nephew, whether you're a grandson, whether you're an interested neighbor, I would think if you're paying taxes on a property to prevent it from getting sold, that you are taking some responsibility for the property to start with. So the in my way of thinking, there's not just a little bit of responsibility. Take it all or don't take any.
I agree. You know, that's an interesting thing. And of course, in Central Heights, I can think of several examples of exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
And it did not occur to me that that basically no one was responsible.
Right. And there's not, and I can show you blighted properties that we just can't do anything about because we can't contact the owner because the contractor, the owner's deceased, so we can't contact them.
There's a loophole that needs to
and
be
so
fixed.
It is, and that's got to come from the state. It can't come from the county. And
right.
So anyway, that's something that we're working on with the state.
That'd be great if you could get that change because there's just so much blight. And
yes.
there's really no benefit to these people from tearing the property down. They're
right.
not here.
And a lot of these property rules and things were written 100 years ago.
Of course.
When it was a whole different atmosphere than it is now.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I'd like to work on. And moving on to the NRCS projects, which is the Natural Resources Conservation Service. They're the ones that we're working on a lot of this flood money that Governor Ducey put in the coffers. And so some of these projects need to be done by December 4th or lose the funds. And so we're working on two of the projects, and that's the Bloody Tanks and Sycamore. And on October 18th, the Board of Supervisors approved the use of the job order contract so we can get started on those. And the other projects that we don't have time to do by then, we are looking into other grants and other fund sources because, when you have that much damage all at once and you reach out to a funding source like National Resources Conservation Service, they say, okay, here it is, but you've got like 120 days to complete the project. And that's fine if you have one project.
Mm-hmm.
But we have like 10. And so, we applied like 7 or so, and we got 4 of them funded, and even 4 of them is difficult to do all in 120 days because we don't have, in rural Arizona, we don't have the resources to reach out and say, okay, we've got 95 contractors to start working on these projects.
Yeah.
Because we just don't.
Well,
and we've got a few contractors, and a lot of them are already tied up in projects. And so we're working on two of them, and then we were kind of recommended by some other government entities that there are other grant monies out there for projects like this that don't have the deadline date on them. Mm-hmm. That the National Resources funding has. And so we're not going to just not do other projects. We're reaching for other grant funding to point towards these other projects. Mm-hmm. And I believe our success, will be good in reaching out for these grants because we have a lot of support from the state, and we have a lot of people down at the state legislature helping us. And so, it's not as if I realize that we have a lot of issues and a lot of creeks, and we need to fix all of them. It's just we can't fix them all in 120
right.
days. So, anyway, we're working on Bloody Tanks and Sycamore for sure, and looking at different funding sources or extended time on mm-hmm. some of the NRCS projects. Because if it's 120 days from start, maybe we can just move the start and be able to do that. So we're trying to work all the projects that need to be done from the flooding out as we can and have resources.
Good.
Yeah. I would very much like to be just a regular supervisor again instead mm-hmm. of dealing with pandemics and fires and floods and the emergencies from all three, get back into like roads and culverts
right.
and, public service things instead of all of these, life or death situations.
Crisis management.
In reality.
Yeah, we're living in crisis management now.
So, yeah, and so that's kind of where I've been lately. Yeah. But anyway, it's good to be able to get some of these things worked at and looked at and an accomplishment out of some of the meetings to get, like they always say, you set your goal real high, and if you only get half of it, you're still further along than you were if you didn't have any goals at all.
Exactly. No, it's good, and we'll look forward to next month, which is December 12th at 5:30.
Okay.
And so, eventually, call your friends and neighbors and participate in the show.
And the people that called in, did they have any recommendations of what they want to hear on December 12th,
next
meeting?
Exactly.
What are they interested in? What can I bring to the table? Who would they like me to have on as a guest speaker? I guess you'll just have to go through that list and figure it out.
Exactly. Well, of course, Tim is no stranger to giving out his phone number and his assistant Terry's phone number. So the bottom line is, if for whatever reason you decided you didn't want to participate on the air, you can participate off the air by calling Tim and saying, hey, here's what I'd like in the next meeting. Have you ever gotten a call where somebody said, this is what I want you to discuss in the meeting?
Roosevelt. They've asked
Roosevelt,
me to bring speakers and things of that.
No, I
have not. But my, my phone number is 928-402-4417. My assistant, Terry Links, is 928-402-4418. My cell phone is 928-961-2885. And so if you would like to call me and tell me what you'd like me to bring to the table, or if you'd like to just discuss it or have a meeting, call me. We'll set up a meeting and discuss it. So,
absolutely.
I applied for a job and I work for you, so I do what I can, and if anything you would want to do, bring up to me that might help me help you, by all means, let me know.
And if you're driving and couldn't get any of those numbers, you can always go to gilacountyaz.gov, and it's fairly easy to navigate it, where you will find all of Supervisor Humphrey's contact meeting information. So we'll do it again in a month.
Okay, Raleigh, I thank you very much. Thanks for having me on, and we'll see you on, what, December the 12th, you said?
Yes, indeed. All right.
Thank you.
KQSS Miami.
Kids Country and More, Gila 101.9.com.